This morning, as we look at the Scripture, we'll be looking at Luke 18, 9 through 14. And we continue with our parables. And so we just want to take a look at how Jesus was telling these stories. You know, a lot of times we tell stories and we tell them a certain way. Well, Jesus had a way about him, folks, that he told stories. And it was kind of like, okay, if you stop and think about it, you're going to get it. But if you don't think about it, if you're not really in tune with me, if you're not really knowing about the kingdom, you may just kind of pass it by, you know. And even today, a lot of the parables, if you're reading them fast, if you're just reading them and reading them fast, you'll kind of miss some stuff. You know, I bet Brian will tell you the same thing. You'll kind of miss a few of the things that's in there. And this Sunday, this parable about the two men who prayed, then when I first thought about it, when we was talking about the parables, when I first thought about it, I thought, well, no, that's a pretty good parable, but that's not very much there. Let me tell you, folks, after you stop and you think about it, you could preach for a month on this one little, few little verses of Scripture. It is so much right here. And I just want y'all to think about this today as we hear the Word of Jesus and how he's talking about, he talks about basically pride and humility. Pride and humility. I think it's hard to have humility in us as much as it's easy to have pride. But as we look at the Scripture this morning, we'll see how Jesus is talking to the people here, and he's telling them that, and starting with the ninth verse, he's telling them this story. So he says, "Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer, 'I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else, for I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery, and I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income.' But the tax collector stood at a distance in the corner and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, 'Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner.' I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." I know last week, Brian was talking about the banquet. I think in 14, maybe verse 11, we heard the very exact words that is right here in the end of this parable. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. We know, folks, that this story Jesus was telling, it's an entirely kind of, the way he's telling this would kind of catch the people off guard. Well, golly bell, this Pharisee come in and he's saying, Lord, I'm just so happy that I'm able to come in the house. I'm just so happy to be in the temple. I'm just so happy that I'm not like this guy over here that he's just robbing everybody every day and then he comes to the temple to pray. It's all about him when he says that, "I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner, for I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector, and I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income." How many times have we heard the word "I" in that, folks? A bunch. The word "I" is all in there. I think it's in this, if you look at the Bible that I have, I believe it's mentioned 8 times. If you have New King James Version, I think it's 5 times. But the word "I" is all in this scripture. It's just a couple of verses. You know, when I was a kid, I had a little saying that I used to really enjoy using, and it really got me in a lot of trouble, Brandon, because a lot of times Daddy would, he'd light me up and he'd tell me, "It ain't about all that, boy." But a lot of times, kind of growing up like I did, I don't know y'all's history, but kind of growing up like I did, I know Charles probably understands what I'm talking about. We had a small farm and a sawmill, and it was pretty tough. I mean, you grew up under a sawmill shed, you kind of learned to do things for your own self. And so many times, folks, when people would ask me when I was a kid, and they would give me, "Daddy would give you something to do," and it would, you know, he'd say, "Boy, you go get this done and don't come back till you have it done." That meant don't come back till you got it done. And then somebody would say something that they'd be picking on you. They picked on you all the time around a sawmill shed. They did ours. I guess they did Charles's too, especially if you was little. And I'd tell them, "All right, I'm fixing to slap a knot on your head." And they'd say, "And who? You and who?" And I got three people with me, me, myself, and I. And I used that a lot. And I told Dad that a lot. And sometimes that was okay, but a lot of times that got me in trouble, depending upon the way I used it. But we grew up with Dad, and he said, "Never, ever, ever let me hear the word can't. You try it. You try whatever I tell you you're going to do." Can't was not in the vocabulary at our house. That was another thing that got us in trouble. And so when you grow up where you can't be saying, "I can't do it. I can't do this, Dad. I'm going to have to have some help. I can't do that." Then that puts it to who? I have to do it. And you begin to grow this pride, folks, out of I. Because you leave the house this morning and you go do something that is totally unheard of, and I done it, and I come back and I've done it by myself. What does that do? That grows pride in you because you were big enough to do it. You were able to do it. And so this is what Jesus is talking about. You know, there's about, as I look at the kind of the people in the world today, we have pride, a lot of pride around us. We have very little humility that shows through people. But pride is everywhere. We have pride of the race that we are. We have pride about where we were born. We was raised in Cottage Grove. We wasn't from Buchanan, even though I live at Buchanan now. We was happy about that. I mean, we were really happy about that, wasn't we, Karen? We loved it, and we still are today. Miss Ann, to us, that's the garden spot of the world. If you're born in Springville or Buchanan or Henry, that was where you were proud that you were from. But it grew pride in us in a good way and in a bad way. And so it's where you're from, who you are, that really sometimes affects who we are when we get older. We are prideful about lots and lots of things, folks. This Pharisee, he was very much happy that he was a Pharisee. He was real happy. "I'm not like that tax collector." He was a Pharisee. So we see that this, where we're from, who we are, the race side of it, we see it playing in right here. And then we see also that we have the spiritual side showing up. Because he says, "I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else." My gosh, folks, the spiritual side of us is showing up here. So as much as we're trying each and every day not to sin, we're trying to walk in a world that is hard to live in. We're trying to be as much like Christ as we can be. We're trying to humble ourselves, are we? We're trying to humble ourselves, really? I don't think so, but maybe. We're trying to humble ourselves to be more like Christ. And the Pharisee says, I'm glad I'm not like these other people. So a lot of times, folks, the religion that we grew up in, the religion that we're taught from a kid up, we get to thinking that we are the ones. We're the only ones. We're the ones that have this figured out. Well, I think me and Brian will tell you that Grace Life Church is here to teach the Word, but we're not going to tell you coming to Grace Life Church is going to be what gets you into heaven. It's not going to happen like that. So we have to be mindful not to be prideful of our church that we go to, not to be prideful about how we grew up and what denomination we grew up in. So a lot of times, it's the way we think of ourselves. Do you ever think of yourself better than anyone else? I'm sure we do. Us Tennessee fans that like Tennessee, we think when we go to Alabama, we're better than they are. That's a bunch of Alabama folks, you know. They ain't nothing. So we have a little pride in who we are, what we think, and how we think it, you know. That's just the way we are, folks. When we go to a game or we go to any place that we have to choose a side, we say that we're the best. We say that we're glad we're not like that bunch right there. You know, I remember when Ross was playing ball back in the day, that's 100 years ago, but I remember when he played ball and you went to Benton, Kentucky, you wasn't going to win because they going to make sure you didn't win. And so we'd say, we didn't win, but we're glad we're not like them people. But, you know, that was kind of what everybody said. And then there was usually a brawl before you got out of there. But anyway, that was kind of the way it was. But we have to be in our spiritual realm, folks. We have to stop and take a look at this pride that lives within us. We're always considering we're better than another group of people that's with us. Jesus knew this. He understood it. And He knows how we think. He knows what our hearts are like. And so He was saying this so we would be able to see how the Pharisee really thought. And then the Pharisee went on to say, I don't cheat. I don't commit adultery. And he says, I fast twice a week. And I give you a tenth of my income, Lord. I give you a tenth every week. Really? I give you a tenth every week. That's wonderful. It'd be wonderful if you give him 20% or whatever you want to give him. Give him 50%. But to be prideful about that, why in the world would you even care who knew what you give to the Lord every week? It's nothing, folks, for us to count our riches above everything that we have. We look at what we are, who we are, and it makes us prideful when we stop for a moment and kind of look at the fact that, you know, I owe a tax bill, and I'm going to have to pay Ridgeways to bury me, and I owe a light bill, and that's about it, you know. Boy, don't that make you feel good? That makes you feel real good. Our riches is what keeps us so many times from having that humble humility that we need to have. We stop and we look at what Jesus was saying. He said, but the tax collector, he stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes as he prayed. And instead he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. How many times, folks, do we stop ourselves and say, I am a sinner, Lord. I need you to be merciful to me. I need you to forgive me of my sin because I am a sinner. This other guy had said 8 times, it's all about me, Lord. I'm about doing the right thing. I'm about showing you all this stuff. But this guy comes to pray and he says, Lord, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me. Folks, humility is something that Jesus taught us. He taught us in the way he lived and the way he spoke and everything that he taught us. Brian was talking last week about don't go to the head of the table if you have that opportunity. Take a seat in the back. It'd be a whole lot better if we're sitting in the back. If I'm in the back of the room and Brian says, Mike, I got you a seat up here. Come on up here. Sit with us. It's a whole lot better to do that than it is for me to be rooting for me a place at the head of the table. Humility, folks, it's what Jesus done. He lived his life humble. He humbled himself before every one of us. You know, so many times, folks, throughout the week, and I tell you this all the time, but I talk to a lot of people, and they'll tell you, if you're not doing this or if you're not doing that, then I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that you're in the right spiritual realm if you're not living like this or like that. So many churches teach this stuff, that they teach that you got to be able to do this or you got to be able to do that before you're going to even be considered to have a relationship with God. But Jesus, he just humbled himself. He didn't have a house. He didn't have any clothes. He didn't have anything. And he served everyone he came in contact with. That's servant's heart. That's servant's heart. You know, yesterday I was speaking with a pastor and I said, you know, what is it that you enjoy doing more than anything? Serving others. Serving others. You might not be the pastor, folks. You might just be someone that's building your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're thinking about making a commitment to follow him. But where's your heart? Where's your heart toward others? Is it about you? Oh, I got to do this. I got to go do that. Is it about you or is it about someone else? We have to ask ourselves, how much humility do we actually show the people around us? Really and truly, very little when I stop and think about Mike. When I stop and think about Mike, I don't humble myself before others real well. I don't know about y'all. I'm just talking about me. Because when you humble yourself before others, that requires for you to sit at the back of the room. And I don't think there's many of us that enjoy doing that. Not many of us that desire to humble ourselves like Jesus did when he was here on this earth. Folks, the things that causes us to have so much pride are the very things that Jesus didn't have. He didn't have all of these worries. He wasn't worried about the race that he came from. I think it's chapter 4, maybe verse 3, where he says, to be from Abraham is nothing. I can take these stones and make them be from Abraham. It's nothing. Wherever you come from is nothing. You have nothing to brag about. You have nothing to say or do about where you come from. But where you come from is someone asking about you and you say that I am a child of God. I am from desiring to be in the kingdom of heaven. I am a follower of Christ. So we see that where you're from is nothing. Where you go to church, whether you're a Pharisee or a tax collector, it doesn't matter. Folks, it's all about how you live your life, how others see you, how you humble yourselves before them. And nobody cares if you've got $1 or if you've got $1 million. Nobody cares. In my lifetime, folks, I've been blessed to have $2 or $3 in my pocket all the time. And that's all I need, just a dollar or two. But so many times, folks, in my life, I've seen thousands of dollars be gone in a matter of a few days or a few months. We've watched it disappear right before our eyes several different occasions. Several occasions. And you know, folks, I've got so many stories I could tell you about that right there alone, but we won't go into that today. But money is only a tool. It's only a tool. Money is nothing. And you know, I guarantee you, if I die today, Ross will figure out some kind of way to bury me. He'll sell some of them treasures, I call them, that old junk that's sitting out back, and he'll bury me. Money is nothing, yet we put so much emphasis on it. I pray today, folks, that we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before others. And just as the Word says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is Jesus' words. These are not mine. Folks, never think you're better than anyone else. Never think that you're above any other person. Treat these people the same as you would love to be treated. The very same. You've got to have a heart like a child. When they asked who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, what did Jesus do? He called him a child to come to him. Got to be like this child. You've got to think like this child. The other day at the grocery store, I met this lady and had this little kid. About, I think she said she just turned 3. Me and this little kid got to talking, and we just had the best conversation it ever was. And then she jumped up and run off. Well, when her mama was standing there with us, and she said, she's through. I can't believe she talked to you that long. And I said, well, we got a lot in common, you know. And then I turned around to walk off, and I got around the corner, and here she come running and just run up to me. And I said, what's going on? And she said, I didn't hug your neck. That's the best thing that ever happened to me, I believe. You know, I didn't hug your neck. A child. She didn't see my faults. She didn't know my faults. Like I do. Like God does. All she saw was an old man that was willing to talk to her. And she loved him for the time that he shared with her. And she wanted to hug his neck. Folks, I hope your desire today is to be more like a child. To see people more like a child sees. To be able to love each and every one. Is it hard? Yes, it is. Do we look at people and draw a conclusion of who they are right by looking? Yes, we do. Sometimes it's okay to be aware of your surroundings. But folks, you never know who you're talking to. Always open your heart. Always open your heart. Be aware, but open your heart. Think about who this is I'm speaking with. Who this is that am I going to make a difference in their life anytime, today or tomorrow or down the road. We have to be more like Christ in the way that we live. Not so much in the way that we are here at church. We all know that we're here at church to hear the Word because we love Jesus. And if we was here today, we just want to wrap our arms around him and hug his neck like that little girl did me. Physically, he's not here. Spiritually, he's right with us. As we read in the pouring of the water, and as we read with the reading of the responsive reading this morning, he's right with us, folks. He's everything that we'll ever need. Think about this. Think about who you put your trust in. What you put your trust in. Are you prideful? You humble? How do you look at folks? Think about all of these things as we go back into the world. And folks, I hope that we humble ourselves just a little more this week than we did last week. There's a whole lot of things throughout the week that I don't like. I'd just like to change them. But I can't. I could express my opinion about it. I could maybe change a few things. But, you know, really? Oh, I'm done with that. So we have to humble ourselves. Because we really, as Tammy's always saying, what's the backstory to this deal? How does this look from the backside? We really don't know that backstory all the time. And sometimes it takes a few days to learn that backstory. And when we learn it, we understand clearly why things were as they were. Let's think about it. Love each one of you, folks. I hope if you do not know your Lord and Savior and you're here today, that you come to know Him. I hope and pray that you come to know that He will forgive you of no matter what you've done. No matter what. And in doing so, He'll not only forgive you, but He has prepared a place for you. All we have to do is accept it and move in with Him, because it's going to happen. Just as me and Jerome was talking about earlier today, it's going to happen. We have to have that bag packed and we have to be ready to move. So folks, I pray today that you, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ, if you've not made that decision to be a disciple of His, to desire a relationship with Him, to let Him become your best friend, that you will do that today before you leave. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.